Good evening, James McCanny here with My Science Hour. It is June 13th, 2013. And quite a few announcements to make today, but tonight's main science topic, I will be talking about what is in a name. Very interesting. When we're talking about science, a name could be everything. It could be the all-important telltale sign, so to speak, of exactly what we're talking about. Scientific names are made for a reason. They are very specific to the topic you're talking about, so if all of a sudden somebody comes in and changes that name to kind of a what I call the slip slide, then there's a different meaning being applied, or as the case may be, implied. So what is in a name? Well, we're going to find out on tonight's show. First, a few announcements. The wiretapping, computer tapping, everybody in your face, in your computer, in your cell phone. I got a kick out of Conan O'Brien last night, another fellow Irishman, Celt, if you wish. Opened up his show by saying, please, audience, everybody turn off your cell phones. There's some jokes. Let's see. Please turn off your cell phones. I have some jokes I do not want the government to hear. Yeah. So that just is the, comedians that work on political satire have no shortage of jokes. They have never had any shortage of jokes. But at any rate, this situation now is beyond absurd. And on my webpage, I made a comment that Obama is a minion. He's a marionette. He's a middle management, let's put it that way. A lot of people think he's in charge or he caused this. Well, sure, a lot of these people micromanage on certain levels, or they actually do things, but they do things that they're told to do. He isn't setting policy or thinking of things to do any more than he makes up his own speeches. He's reading off of a teleprompter any more than NASA scientists say their own mind when they're given an interview. They have to read from a script, a very, very well-reviewed script, let's put it that way, that crossed paths through many channels that are okayed before they ever get to you, the public. But this idea of just simply massive everybody being listened to and tapped, my comment was that a lot of people, the drone brain-dead sheeple out there, there's really not a lot of thought process going on, so there's really not a lot to tap into. You can pretty much categorize them as dead people in terms of thought, in terms of thinking. And so 95% of the public, you can simply put a big D, I would say a BD category, brain dead, nothing going on. No, don't have to worry about them because they're not thinking, they have no idea, they don't imagine anything other than what they're told on the evening news. So I'd say about 95% of the public in all of this data snatching, watching, snooping is a BD on their account. And so nobody ever has to go there. So about 5% of the people, and I always call my audience the 5%ers. I don't want all those other people listening to my show because they try and mix it with some other garbage that they listen to on the evening news and somehow come to a conclusion. I don't want that. I want people who are serious about spending serious amounts of time studying and learning, and those are the people I want to listen to my show. The rest, you know, turn it off and go watch football or baseball or whatever the local season is, or go to, whatever. But, this whole idea of snooping is absurd. I want to read a letter here. It's this is from a listener who wrote in, and it's rather lengthy, but I'll try and read quickly but clearly so you can understand this. And I'm going to read the whole letter, and it's very well written, and it really reflects many of our thoughts out there. So I'll try and read this quickly. It says, the title of the email to me is "Your Extra Virgin Olive Oil is Fake." And this woman is fed up, she says. So at any rate, she says, capitalism is a dirty word. Capitalism is just another word for tyranny, for mobsterism, for the rule by the robber barons. Another word for corpocracy, which is a combination of corporation and democracy, but a corruption, of course. Says corpocracy is more evil and disgusting than anything Mao or Lenin or Marx ever invented, and comes from the same deepest part of hell where communism emanates. Okay, so I'll continue and read. This is quite long. It says, everybody has their line in the sand. Mine is food, what I will and won't eat, and my right to homeschool and raise my children my way instead of the government's way, and my right to refuse vaccines and treatments and medicines that the government system wants to inflict on me, and to be able to refuse the services of vets, allopathic doctors, and dentists. I also draw in the line in the sand when it comes to hating and or going to war against people I love and admire because the Jews want me to. My line in the sand has brought me to the point where I cannot wait to get out of this country, even if I have to practically give my house away that I worked so hard to buy and pretty much ruin my health. When the government claims to be looking out for me, to be collecting mountains of money from me and the rest of the suckers who live in this godforsaken country to perform services, and then can't even make sure that the grocery stores put the ingredients in their food that the label says they've put in there, that is it. That tells me this country is gone, 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 and that the people and the system are beyond hope, and there's little to nothing left to be proud of in America that is not ruined or corrupt. My last bottle of olive oil is what pushed me over the top, over my line in the sand to where I feel running down the road screaming and hollering, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. I did the refrigerator test to see if the bottle of oil I bought from Wegmans at Christmas was really what the label said it was, namely extra virgin olive oil. It sure looked pretty all nice and green and had that smell that made me think it was Evo, but I learned from the internet I should not be assuming that I had not been scammed on my olive oil. So I did the refrigerator test and I put my Wegmans extra virgin olive oil, so labeled, in the refrigerator. And 3 days later, it was still as runny and clear as when I first put it in. Okay, I got to move the cursor here. Real olive oil will get cloudy and congeal in the refrigerator, and that's how you know that you have the real deal. So I see that Wegmans sold me fake oil, and on the top of all of the scammers I run into day in and day out, I'm fed up to hear. I don't know what this polyunsaturated cheap dyed green oil is, soybean, canola, petro, sterno, who knows. I am more angry about getting tricked into eating this horrible polyunsaturated crap oils than I am about getting cheated out of good oil that I thought I was buying. So if you have to understand it, I'm going to read that line again. Come in. Okay, so reading that line again so you understand. It says, I don't know what this polyunsaturated cheap dyed green oil is, soybean, canola, petro, sterno, who knows. I am more angry about getting tricked into eating those horrid polyunsaturated crap oils than I am getting cheated out of the good oil I thought I was buying. Soybean oil is pure poison, and so is canola oil. It's not just a matter of what tastes good, it's a matter of I make it a point to never ever eat soybean oil or canola oil. I even gave up mayonnaise 8 years ago just so I could avoid these disgusting, health-destroying oils. And here I have been slugging down possibly one or both, or maybe even worse oils than soy and canola. Gag. Total fraud. What else are they putting in the food? Is there anything that's safe to eat? I heard that carrots and yams and sweet potatoes and watermelon and citrus are safe, maybe beets. The meat is full of antibiotics, and so is the dairy. The grain is GMO and designed to spike the blood sugar and give us diabetes. If I want to be able to eat food, I have no choice but to get out of this country, not to mention all those hollow point bullets and plastic coffins the government is stocking up to use on me. Or maybe if I'm lucky, I might get one of those camps they've built with razor wire fence instead of a bullet, assuming they don't finish me off once they get me rounded up. Okay, I'll continue. In this country, everybody is incompetent, fraudulent, dishonest, lazy, crooked, and insane. I can't wait to escape out of this godforsaken country. Anybody want to buy a cute organic hobby farm cheap? Who knows what they are putting in the food? You can't even buy single ingredient food and get what the label says. I'm so angry about that. GMO food, fake oils, fake honey. Fake, fake, fake. American food is disgusting. Fake oils that kill, fake vegetables with built-in pesticides and no taste. Milk full of hormones and antibiotics. Fake food not fit for even an animal. Okay, so I'm going to... In fact, animals are getting better food in the grocery store than we are. As a matter of fact, I do eat some animal food from the feed store. Diamond V yeast and also stabilized rice bran, both way more full of nutrients than most of the food I can buy at the grocery store. And I'm really, really sick of looking up and seeing those NATO planes buzzing around making X's and tic-tac-toes, spraying all kinds of horrid poisons in the sky, stealing away the sunshine and turning the skies that stickly powder gray blue color that I've seen it that's all I see ever anymore. And I'm so angry that those damned white military planes up there spraying all those chemicals in the sky so the Rothschilds and the Monsantos can own all the food so they can accomplish whatever other goals they have in mind for why they're spending trillions to spray down the entire earth. And by the way, I'm just going to interject here. The forests of the United States are dying. It's a horrible thing to see. Right now, from a distance, they might look lovely and green as some of the trees are there, but they are very sickly. And if you look at the number of dead and down trees that have been just fallen down over the past years, you cannot walk through the forest anymore for the number of downed trees. And I'm talking about any place in the woods. It's all been destroyed. They're obviously dying. And that's along with about everything else. Okay, I'm going to continue reading from this letter. God is going to fix things on this earth. There are some big whopping comets coming through, and these control freaks are not going to be able to control that, even with their underground cities where they think they will be able to hide and escape the results of nuclear war or the results of extinction level events from comets that God might throw at this planet. This earth is evil, sick, disgusting, vile, a treacherous, wicked place of death and misery. I'm going to write in to speak out Penny Saver and warn people about Wegmans' so-called virgin olive oil. Wegmans' slogan is food you can feel good about. Yeah, right. Also, the loving state of New York, not, is getting ready to do their own stupid neighbor Pennsylvania did, which is turn the frackers loose to destroy the water table, the aquifers, so that we all have to go to the grocery store and buy those plastic gallons of jugs of water. They don't want us to have cheap or free water. And what are we going to use to water our animals? Well, the answer is you won't have any animals. They want us to get rid of all the animals, and the only animals there will be the ones raised on those huge factory farms and the wild coyotes and snakes and cougars and animals like that the government has introduced into the countryside that are howling around our fences in the night. What are we supposed to take a bath in with all the fracking chemicals in it? And now I just want to insert here, too. Last week I talked about the chemical sludge that is being planned up in the northern boundary water area of Minnesota. Listen to my show last week, where they're planning on introducing mining that will destroy 3 million acres of pristine wilderness with all the animals and fish and little critters in it. Okay, so I'm going to read on. And we're supposed to take, and now this country is going to force people to line up for big medicines treatments, their poison pills and shots. All these evils are just how the game is played, and it can all be grouped into one heading. This is all known as plain old corporate capitalism, just pure murderous greed, the same thing we read about in our history books about the robber barons who killed and stole and destroyed so they could have control of whatever market they had their greedy eyes on, or even so they could create a completely fake market and fake need for their fake products and force us to give what they give us, whether we like it or not. Because they will make sure there is nothing else to choose from, and they can get their laws passed to force us to comply and submit. This capitalism corporocracy is the absolute opposite of free enterprise, and capitalism is a dirty word in my book, a very, very dirty word. Screw Fox News and the whole television industry and the whole media, the whole world money system scam. It's all evil, just like Jesus warned us. This world is run by Freemasons, people who love evil and who love death, by Jolly Roger pirates, and all these people are going to end up in hell burning for eternity. Signed, the listener. Okay, so enough of that, but I just wanted to read that. Doubt if this listener thought this would be read on the air, but so it is. Going on to the topic of the sun. The sun has been extremely weak. We're supposedly in a solar maximum, and it ain't there. That's all I can tell you. I had a call from a listener, longtime listener, and said this is from people in California noticing odd things happening with the sun. And I'll just mention some of these just because they at first thought you might think, well, there's nothing to this. But a woman said she put down the slide, one of these water slides that the kids play on. You run the hose on it, and then you can slide. And what happened is they typically put it down in a certain part of their lawn, and the kids slide on it, and then they roll it up and put it away. But this time when they did it, they pulled it up, and all of the grass was black. And so they were trying to figure out, could this be an effect from the sun? And then the listener went through a number of other personally observed issues that were related to light from the sun. Last week, I believe it was, or at least within the last 2 weeks, I gave a talk, a little discussion about the inability of NASA to monitor solar conditions. And as I said, they have about 50 stations around the world to monitor solar conditions, all the conditions of the sun, and they have many satellites that are meant to do that. So, but the end result is they don't have any results. They can't determine the conditions of the sun. And just from my theoretical work, the solar conditions are constantly changing at the surface of the sun. The reason they can't determine what's going on in the sun is because, first of all, they don't understand it. In my Atlantis to Tesla book, I believe it is, I have a chapter in there, which was a carryover from a web page that I had back in the 90s. It's the statement is you can't predict the weather if you don't know what causes the weather. And in that case, I was talking about the weather situation. You can't predict the weather if you don't know what causes the weather, suggesting and stating that the weathermen have no clue what causes the weather. And so how on earth can they predict it? The weather. Well, it's the same case with the sun. If you don't know how the sun works, then how on earth are you going to measure its properties? You could make a stab at it, but you better have instrumentation that is designed to measure what's going on. And that's certainly not the case. The traditional concept of the sun is that the sun is a black ball or black body radiation ball. Now, black body does not imply that the object is black. What it implies is a concept that If an object has a certain temperature, then the light curve, the amount of light at each particular frequency of light in the electromagnetic spectrum, has a certain intensity. In that curve, that intensity curve has a very specific shape. Well, the sun has always been assumed to be a black body. That is an object at a certain temperature. So let's simplify this. Let's take a bar of iron. If you take a bar of iron and a torch, like a acetylene torch, for example, and you start heating it up, at first, if you turn off all the lights, at first it starts to glow in a very faint red. And that's because your eyes are not able to see in the infrared. An animal would see that bar much sooner than you would, or a fish, because their eyes see in the infrared. We have infrared night vision goggles, which convert infrared into visible so a person can see. And so that's what night vision is all about, a conversion of infrared light, and then you can see. Going back to the acetylene torch and the bar of iron, so you start heating it up more and more, it starts to turn red, then orange, and if you get it hot enough, it'll become blue, and then violet would be the hottest color. And but any of these colors, say when it first starts to become red, just the reddish color, it's giving off a certain component of violet, orange, yellow, blue, except it's very minimal, so the dominant color is red, and that's what your eyes see. But as you heat it up, the dominant color moves up in energy to the orange, yellow, blue, or green-blue, I should say, and green first, then blue, then purple, violet, etc. But that's the overall intensity spectrum that would come from a black body. A black body is a theoretical term, not a literal term that the body is black. So the sun has always been assumed to be a black body with the engine, the heat engine, deep in the core. And what I did is back in the 70s when I was doing my theoretical work and observing with the data coming in from NASA satellites, etc., at Cornell, I realized that that theory could not possibly be true. I went, at Cornell, I talked to a guy named Hans Bethe, who was Nobel Prize winner, and part of his Nobel Prize was dealing with the chemistry, the chemical equations that the building of larger atoms from smaller atoms in the sun. And so that was, he was a person that was foremost in solar physics at the time. He was resident at Cornell. I went over and talked to him, and I said, you know, this whole concept about the core fusion of the sun is incorrect. And I showed him, and he goes, yeah. He said, there's obviously some problems here. And so I showed him my work, and he agreed with it. He was one of the one person who I could talk to frequently there and not get a bunch of guff from the astronomy people who were all too smart to talk to. But he's the one who directed me to the Netherlands to publish my papers, which I successfully did, until I was blackballed, basically, from publishing. But my published papers were published in the Netherlands at the advice of Hans Bethe. But I discussed with him this concept that the sun, in fact, could not be a black body. It was something else was going on, and I said that the surface fusion was the correct answer, that the energy of the sun was conducted in the surface of the sun and by an electric fire, and I displayed how it all would work, and he was very interested in this concept because he realized the standard core model of the sun didn't work. It just did not work, and there were many factors that would suggest that. But at any rate, right now there's strange things going on with the sun. We're in a solar cycle that is the weakest in history. Going back to the Maunder minimum of the Middle Ages, when they had about a 70-year period of cooling, and this year, the reason I'm talking about this is this year we are experiencing cooling, severe cooling, of the Earth's atmosphere. So I don't know where this is going. I'm not quite sure. But we're going to have a problem this year with crops. I announced that last week that the soybean crop around the upper Midwest is not being planted. Once again, corn is under wraps because it needs, most corn is 100-day corn or 105-day. You need that many days of, the reason they call it 100-day corn is that's from you plant it to the time you harvest. But in that time period, you need 70 degrees minimum day and night temperature. And if not, especially in the early days of the corn crop growing, it drastically affects the corn. So amongst the northern states, we're still dealing with 50-degree nights, way, way below average. We had a lot of moisture this year. Some of the northern states are having serious fog problems, which they've never had. The fog conditions are prevalent not just for a day or a couple days, but for weeks and weeks on end. Anyway, just wanted to make that statement. So I don't really have an answer. I wish I had better equipment where I could have teams of people out there looking for real information. I believe that the Tier 1 scientists do have good information, do have answers, but it's not filtering down to you, the public. Okay, so I'm not sure. I'm going to continue to look into the conditions on the sun and try and bring some serious reporting. Let me see. Oh, just a quick update here. I normally don't have any advertisements on this show, and this is I only have my own products that I sell on the sales page on my webpage, jmccsci.com. JMCC, S as in Sam, C as in Charlie, I as in Indigo.com. But I have a new product offering in the water filter line, and this is something that I had looked at before, but it's something I wanted to add. And so anyway, it's a countertop water filter. Now, you're all familiar with my water filters. They're the emergency two stainless steel containers, one on top of the other, gravity feed water filters. And those a lot of people have in their kitchen. I have used for years in my kitchen. But if you have a pressurized water system, they still work. You just pour the water in, and it comes out the bottom. It filters. You can usually, if you use one or two filter elements, you have plenty of water for your family, for cooking, making coffee, for doing sprouting, etc. Every day, you just fill it up last thing at night, and in the morning, you have your pure water supply for the day. The type of water filter I'm offering now is a little different. It's just mainly for convenience. It's not an emergency water filter, but it's something for convenience, and some people may be interested in applying this to their list of kitchen utilities. It takes about 5 minutes to hook up. There's a little hose. It attaches to the faucet on your kitchen sink. You unscrew the little screen filter that's there. You screw on this adapter, which has a little hose that goes over to the water filter. Then there's a little metal spout. And when you open up the filter, it produces clear filtered water. And it's not gravity feed. It works off the pressure in your line, and therefore it is not emergency, because in an emergency, typically you would not have water coming in off of your tap. You would use your emergency water filter, but for convenience, probably about every 6 months you would change the filter in this. And the other convenient part of this is that the arsenic fluoride filter is contained in the filter in this unit. So it's about 11 inches tall. It sits over at the side of your sink and has a little metal spout, and so it continuously will produce fresh water. So if you have a kitchen with a lot of family, in the summertime they're drinking a lot of water, and your regular gravity feed water filter isn't quite producing enough, you can use one of these to produce a continuous stream of filtered water, and it has the same Seristil type of filtration technology as the gravity feed, but as I say, the difference is that the arsenic and fluoride filtration is done in the same filter element. I'm also offering that now as a new add-on product for the old Dalton and the My Name brand filters. We now have the 7-inch candles that have the fluoride arsenic filtration right in the filter element, so you no longer have to put that canister on the bottom. These are compatible with those, so if you have some filters left over, not a problem. These are all compatible. But there's a new brand. They cost more, but then you don't have to add on the arsenic fluoride filter. So if you have a city where there's a lot of arsenic or fluoride, you can add these, and you can put this filter in and eliminate that bottom filter. And so it does the same thing, it has the same effect, and if you still have your supply of arsenic filters, well, just keep using them. In fact, I still do. I personally use the add-on filter, arsenic filter, and in my own home. So, but the new filters, as I said, you can buy them, and that'll be offered on the webpage as soon as you this show is done. You should be able to go to my webpage and purchase these. But the countertop water filter is just a vertical canister. It sits on the side of the sink. It connects to your faucet with a little hose, and it provides you with continuous filtered water with the same Seristil. It has silver to prevent bacteria buildup, and you change that filter element every 6 months or so, providing you with continuous filtered water. So it's just a little addition. If you still have your Dalton or My Name brand filter system, continue using it. This is just something additional. There could be a group of people out there who would like the extra convenience of this, and have some extra water, for continuous flow. So anyway, that's all I'll say about that. Information, once again, is on the webpage, jmccsci.com. And we're selling quite a few of the pre-filters. And it's something that people really like. And it's for any of the gravity feed water filter systems. But a lot of people are buying that, and they're very happy with it. It's only my webpage is the only place you're going to find that. It's the universal ChemRad oil pre-filter, and it comes with powders. It comes with medical food grade powders that filter the water, and then you throw that powder away. It's a very inexpensive way to pre-filter the water that goes into your gravity feed water filter. This, by the way, does not work with these new filters, which is a completely self-contained unit. But at any rate, just wanted to mention that the pre-filter has been something that people have really responded positively to. And just remember, all my books now are in ebook format, except Calculate Primes. Calculate Primes, because it's a technical book. And it comes with a DVD. There was no way to put it into an ebook format, so Calculate Primes is not in ebook format. And plus, all the books are still available in print form. They just cost more because the way of the world, that's just the way the world spins. And the weather book, in fact, all the books turn out to be very interesting in ebook format because all the prints are in color now, and it's an easy way to carry all the books around. In fact, for years when I traveled, I literally had my travel books that I carried with me, all my books, all my posters, all my DVDs, CDs, I carried with me, and so I toted those around, and that all weighs quite a bit, especially when you're traveling. Now I don't have to do that. I just have the ebook formats, and just a little easier way to carry all that information around with you. Okay, on to the main science topic for tonight. What's in a name? Recently, and I started trying to find out when this exactly happened. Now, in physics or astrophysics, weather terminology, for example, a name is very specifically created by its originators, by its designers, to say something. And it has a message. When you say that word, it means a lot of things. And so if you change that name, that's going to change the meaning of what you're talking about. Tonight, the main topic, and I mentioned this last week, that there was some strange situations with what they are calling noctilucent clouds. Now, being around the block many years, many decades, the correct term for this is nocto, with an O, luminescent clouds. So why would you abbreviate that to nocti, with an I, lucent, which just means light, clouds? Noctilucent is how they are calling them today. That's the common term, and it kind of came into vogue around the mid-2000s, around the 2005 time frame, and I'm trying to look back, but Google and other pages, government-controlled pages, have done a good job of eliminating the noctoluminescence. And so I'm going to go through this terminology because it is so important. First of all, what are noctoluminescent clouds? And I remember on shows past, I was saying the noctoluminescent, that's the standard term. And then I'm reading on spaceweather.com, and they have a special section, and they go, noctilucent. And I'm going, my eyes kind of did a whiplash, and I came back, and I'm going, wait a minute. Noctilucent? The old term, the traditional, the real term for this is noctoluminescent clouds. That's two words. Nocto, luminescent is the second word, and then clouds. And they're high-altitude clouds that occur. They can occur any place over the Earth, but they typically occur right now, the summer season in the northern hemisphere around the polar regions. And, of course, the polar regions always have auroras going on, and these are different. They're high, wispy clouds that glow, and you can see them with the naked eye, and they're always up there, but they're prominent in the summertime. And this year they're starting a little early and acting very strangely, according to NASA announcements that have come through their mouthpiece web pages, like spaceweather.com. And so they're starting a little early and acting a little strange this year. And so I looked at this term, noctilucent. They changed the O to I. They replaced the word luminescent with lucent. Now, I'm going, what the heck is going on here? And so I started doing searches. And going back in the old literature, it's noctoluminescent. What does nocto mean? Well, it means night, nighttime. Well, these occur in the daytime, too. It's just that they're in the daytime, it's too bright to see them. But right now we're in the midnight sun up in the above the Arctic Circle, because we're approaching the 21st of June. You have daylight almost 24/7. Up there, and then just a little bit below the Arctic Circle, you have a very short nighttime, but you can see these clouds up in the northern sky. So they're really there, it's just that you can't see them. Just like auroras are there, they could be there in the daytime, except the daylight is too bright and you don't see them. But nocto means night. Luminescent means luminosity, which is created by electrical currents. Now, if you listen to my show, you understand what luminosity means. I've been talking and talking and talking about luminosity in comets, something that was basically banned from being talked about back in the 1996 region when Comet Hyakutake was came through the solar system was a bright, very close to Earth comet. It wasn't that big, it was just close. And they discovered X-rays, kind of by mistake. And then that became kind of an odd field. They all ran around Goddard scratching their noses, their behinds, and a few other things possibly, trying to figure out where these X-rays could be coming from a dirty snowball. And not only from the nucleus area, they were really about 30,000 miles out to the sunward side. And then they started looking at other comets. Comet Hale-Bopp was there. Hale-Bopp had X-rays. All of a sudden, all the comets had X-rays. They looked at all the little comets around the solar system, and they all had X-rays. So they came up with this idea, Tom Cravens, who I know from the university, I think he's in Kansas, I'm not sure where he is now, chemist, and he said, well, this is due to charge exchange. Well, charge exchange does not explain, it was never really refereed properly, because why doesn't Earth, why doesn't Venus, why don't other planets and other objects in the solar system have charge exchange also? Why just these ice ball comet things, 30,000 miles or 50,000 miles out to the sunward side? Well, it doesn't make any sense under close scrutiny, but that doesn't matter because in the world of peer-reviewed publications these days, there is no peer review. It's just your buddies reviewing it, and so you don't have a real peer review. When I went to the AGU conferences and dealing with this, and of course my main prediction of regarding comets, which would differentiate ice ball comets from my plasma discharge comet model, the main test was that comets would produce X-rays. And that's in my paper. You can see that in the Appendix 1 of the Planet X Comets and Earth Changes book, Part 1 of the part two or three? I forget. It's in the appendix. It's one of the predictions I made of comets, what the difference is between my plasma discharge comet model and the dirty snowball ice ball, or the what was called the ice ball comet model at the time back in the 70s when I wrote those papers. Okay, so at any rate, at the same time as Hyakutake, X-rays were discovered. Also, Hyakutake was extremely brilliant luminosity-wise. In other words, it gave off a tremendous amount of luminous light, light that was not solar reflected light. So at that time, they understood that they didn't have any explanation for the luminosity, so they stopped talking about the official dogma of comet science would not talk about luminosity in comets. Fast forward up to 2013 or possibly 2005. I don't know when this really started. I never quite noticed this change until just the other day, because I planned to talk tonight's show about the noctoluminescent clouds of Earth and their causes. So let's examine that word. Nocto means night. O at the end of that is very telling, and I'll tell you why they changed to an I. Luminescent means that it's caused by an external energy source. Where is an energy source up in space? Well, it's electrical and it comes from out there. It's not Earth-based. Okay? So now, if you look at the modern term that's been changed, NOCD with an I, lucent, just means light. Lucent just means light, and so their explanation is that this is just scattered sunlight from, they're saying, meteor dust. Well, why does meteor dust just happen in the month of June? That's kind of weird. And what's meteor dust doing in the upper atmosphere? And how does it get organized into these wispy little clouds? They don't talk about any of this in the standard concept for noctilucent clouds. So this term changing from luminescent to lucent is very telling. They don't want you to know about this luminosity thing, because I've been pounding on it on this show that luminosity indicates energy from outside, and that energy comes from one thing and one thing only, electrical currents. Okay, if they talk about electrical currents, couldn't we tap into some of that to run our society? Yep, you're going to see where this goes. This is the conspiracy between meteorology, astronomy, and big energy and the world controllers. They don't want you, the public, to know about this. So they changed the word luminescent to lucent. Lucent just means light, any old light. And they're talking about scattered light, and this is what spaceweather.com did with comets. When the green comet Lemon, it was called, showed up, I spent many shows talking about the luminosity of that comet and then other comets and discussing the term luminosity, which is caused by electrical currents and creates a line spectrum. So now the term lucent simply means light, and the physical, the modern physical explanation for noctilucent clouds is that it's simply scattered sunlight. And that's the con they tried to pull on spaceweather.com regarding Comet Lemon, and I caught them at it, and then they changed it. They kind of just said it was just due to sunlight. They kind of slip-slided out of that, but they wouldn't talk about the luminosity aspect of the comets. And so, as I said, the officialdom change, the slip-slide, came around 1996 when they realized they cannot explain comets, the major properties of comets. So they limit it to this simply looks like a tail, that's all it is, reflects sunlight, adios, goodbye. And so anyway, they're doing the same with noctiluminescent clouds. Now, the curious part to me was why they changed the O to an I. So it took me a while to figure it out. Why would you change the O, which was proper Latin, noctiluminescent is proper Latin, why would you change the O to an I? And the answer comes up when you do a search. When you do a search on Nocti, N-O-C-T-I, it does not get you back to the noctiluminescent portion of it. So you could do a search on noctiluminescent. It'll bring up noctiluminescent, and it actually, Google directs you to noctilucent when you put in noctiluminescent. It won't pull you to the real sources of the noctiluminescent information. You see what's going on? They don't want people to know the real original term. Now, believe me, this is the only radio show on the planet in this part of the universe where you're going to get this kind of information. So what is going on? What are noctiluminescent clouds? The true term, the physics term, you can tell, nocto with an O, luminescent. Nocto is proper Latin. I took 4 years of Latin in high school, so don't try and pull Latin over my eyes. I'm sorry, but the the mafia-controlled news agencies, the Rothschilds, I'm sorry, probably didn't take a lot of Latin. I did. And nocto is the proper Latin term. Luminescent is referring to electrical nature of light, illuminated by electricity. And when you see them, you can clearly see they're electrical. You can see that green, glowing, electrical nature of these clouds. They're not just reflected sunlight like you'd see from some meteorological cloud in the sky that causes rain. No, they're a glowing green, same as Comet Lemon. And so what's going on? It's electrically charged. And they're trying to get away from that. They're saying this is just meteor dust. Well, where does meteor dust come from? This is so absurd. And why is it only in June? Why not in August? Why not in September? Why not in December? Aren't there meteors around in those months too? Well, of course there are. So, and they're prepping also for this supposed meteor dust stream coming from Comet Ison. Remember, I predicted that in mid-January of 2014, we will be in the crossfire electrically between Comet Ison, Jupiter, Earth, new moon of Earth, and Venus. And we will get some upper-level noctiluminescent cloud activity. So you can see NASA in the Rothschild-owned weather media is trying to offset this, head off at the pass, this information. So that's, once again, they took the luminosity out of comets. They're taking the luminosity out of noctiluminescent clouds. They don't want you to know about luminosity. And the other thing you can do is simply take a spectrum of the clouds. You could easily see that the light given off is not reflected sunlight, which has a very specific pattern. It looks like the same spectrum as sunlight. These clouds have line spectrum. That's what's giving off the primary component of light of a luminescent cloud. So you can see, for two reasons, you can actually measure this, but they won't talk about doing a spectrum. I pounded on this concept of a spectrum, pounded on it over and over dealing with comets and the fact that NASA will not release the spectroscopic data. I thought it was comical. A listener sent me a link to a NASA page where they released supposedly the spectral analysis of comet Ison. And it was a piece of garbage. It was just spike lines, no infrared red shifting component to it at all. They had filtered that out and only showed some spikes, vertical spikes. So completely altered data coming out of NASA when they released those pictures a few weeks ago of comet Ison. They also released some spectral, what they called spectrum, but it's not the way spectrum are presented. Clearly doctored data coming out of NASA, once again hiding the concept of luminosity. Okay, so what are noctiluminescent clouds? Clearly these are dust particles where water is attaching to these dust particles, so it's very high upper atmosphere clouds that are hooked into the electric field that comes from the ionosphere, and they're being basically electrically stimulated from the electric fields that are beyond. And of course around the pole regions we have a lot of electrical activity because of the magnetic field there, a lot of electrical current coming in, but these are primarily, they appear to me to be primarily dosed with electron currents, which are basically like a very like a neon bulb, basically the same kind of luminosity that occurs in comets. So number one, you can see these clouds glowing. They're glowing in green, and if you do a spectrum, what do you get? You get green luminosity line spectrum. It's luminescent. It's not lucent. It's not just reflected light like spaceweather.com is trying to pawn off on the public. And this is what I keep saying. This is the garbage science being pawned off on the public. Somewhere at the top, there have to be people that are going, we have to change this. How can we change this so that the public doesn't know, that doesn't suspect, that can't, they won't draw that equation to electrical energy coming from outer space? Because what is the main mechanism for control? They don't have control of all the water yet. The listener tonight, I read that email, one of the main things they're talking about in New York State, as in Pennsylvania and other states, is destroying the water table. Any large freshwater source they're trying to destroy so that the public does not have access to it, so that you have to buy water from them. The control of water is going to be like the control of food, the control of medicine, the control of oil. We should be paying 35 cents a gallon for gasoline. We're paying, you know, more than 10 times that. 15 times that is what we're paying at the pump now. And that's all due to control. You can call it refinery problems. You can try and base it on whatever you want. But the end product is, none of those factors really make any sense. So at any rate, noctiluminescent clouds, NLCs, they are called. The abbreviation, the mnemonic, is NLC, noctiluminescent clouds. That's three words. By the way, noctilucent, the term they're trying to pawn off on you now, is one word. So you would call them NCs. not NLCs. You don't pick a letter out of the middle of the word to create a mnemonic. That's stupid. That's not the way it's done. And so what they do is they still call them NLCs, noctoluminescent clouds, but they've modified the word nocti. And like I say, it took me quite a while to figure out why they changed O to an I. Why would you do that? It's not proper English. It's not proper Latin. Well, the reason is because if you search on noctolucent, you're going to find your way back to noctoluminescent. And so they had to change the I so the search engines wouldn't allow you to get back to the noctoluminescent, the true term, the true physics term for this phenomenon. At any rate, possibly if we're lucky this summer, right now is a good time to go out and look. You can look to the north, and if you're lucky, along with possibly seeing auroras, you will be able to see some NLC noctoluminescent clouds. And if you're with some friends, you can tell them that these are noctoluminescent clouds, not noctilucent clouds. Nocti isn't a word. Lucent means just simply light. And so you can tell it's totally misdirected information. So now you know what the real cause is, and these can occur at lower latitudes. So keep your eyes out. If you got a nice clear night, especially some of these moonless nights that we're having right now, look around and look for those noctoluminescent clouds. High, very high. They look like those high wispy clouds that occur on a beautiful blue day. Sometimes you get some very high-level wispy clouds. They look just like those, except they're at nighttime, and they're kind of a dull green, but obviously illuminated, like a light bulb up there, like a filament, not a filament light bulb, but a neon light bulb with wispy, soft light coming off of them. And at the same time, you might get some auroras. The auroras, by the way, auroras borealis, the northern lights, it can also occur around the southern poles, occur when high-energy particles come in from the solar wind, follow the magnetic field lines in around the polar regions, and cause auroras, the lighting, and that's those strange curtain effects and the moving around. Noctoluminescent clouds are different. They're caused by high-level, high-altitude particles that attach, water molecules attach and freeze, so it's a high level, kind of an ice snow particle, so to speak, and then they are electrified with electrical energy, electric currents, electron currents coming from the way up in outer space. Anyway, I'm about out of time. Be sure to visit the homepage, jmccsci.com, and look at the new water filter products. I'm out of time. This is James McCanny. This is my Science Hour, and as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.